Good morning. 37 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Instead of making New Year's resolutions this year, what about this novel idea? Focus on one word that represents the type of person you'd like to become in 2017. Here to tell us how to do that effectively is Mike Ashcraft. He's senior pastor at Port City Community Church in Wilmington, North Carolina, and co-author of the book, My One Word. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
So a lot of Americans are going to be making their New Year's resolutions next week, but the majority of those are never going to become reality, unfortunately. Do we have any idea about the percentage of people who give up on their resolutions?
Well, statistics kind of vary a little bit, but pretty much they say about 50% of people make resolutions, and only about 8% of people are successful at keeping them. And I've got a hunch the 50% who don't make resolutions don't do it because they know they won't keep them.
So, and a lot of times they give up by the end of January.
It's quick. It's quick.
I've got a gym membership, and boy, I'm going to get out there and work out every day. And a lot of those gyms, by February 1st, they're empty.
Yeah, I'm sure the gyms love it because everybody signs up, and then just the whole year goes by, get a year membership, and it's over.
Why is it that New Year's resolutions simply don't work, Mike?
Well, I think, in my story, I was a big New Year's resolutions guy growing up, just even in my high school, college days. I think they don't work primarily for one reason is people pick resolutions that are based on these, I want to be a better person, or I think one of the top ones was I want to enjoy myself more, live life to the fullest. They're vague. They don't have any kind of real sticky action steps to them. And even more important, I think a lot of our resolutions are based on what we wish we didn't do. In other words, we want to be more organized, not for some visionary reason, but because we're tired of being unorganized. It's almost a response to the things that we regret.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, a few years ago, you and Rachel Olson wrote a book called My One Word that it takes a really different approach to personal growth and change. Can you explain how your concept is very different from the typical New Year's resolution?
Yes, and it started with me in 2000 and probably 2004. I've kept a journal since I was a kid. My youth pastor told me, the best way to pay attention to God's work in your life is to write it down, to chronicle it. And so I began doing that as a kid. My mom actually taught me. She said, I used to complain about the pastor being boring. And she said, well, take notes. And so I learned to take notes and have been a chronic note taker most of my life for that reason. And so I would write in my journals. And one year, about 2004, one month, I just wrote down the word flow that comes out of, Jesus when he's talking about, if you believe in me, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And so I just remember taking and writing in big bubble letters in my journal the word flow, F-L-O-W. And I just decided over the next month or so, I was just going to kind of use that word to look at my own life and see how God's life was flowing out of mine. And I noticed over that month, as I would just make notes in the margin or around the white space on that page, that I began to see so much more about my life through that word. So by the end of that year, I decided I wasn't going to do resolutions. I was going to pick a word. And I led our whole church through that process. And the difference is that my one word focuses on really the future, and it embraces a process, as opposed to resolutions are typically promises that we make to ourselves. And, like I said, by the end of January, we've broken them, and then we feel like a failure, and the solution is just wait till next January to start over, whereas a process assumes starts and stops and successes and failures, and that those failures never become endpoints. They're just part of the process by which God forms us more closely into his image.
It sounds a lot like the sanctification process, and
that's exactly what it is.
And it's so exciting that your church has been going through this each year in January. Let's walk through the one-word process. First of all, you encourage people to determine the kind of person they want to become by the end of the year, and explain how we need to focus on character rather than accomplishment.
Right. I talk to a lot of folks, and I've been able to do this in a lot of different settings, whether it's businesses, my own church, with high school, college students, wherever. And I always ask the question, how many people have to-do lists? And everybody, raises their hand, I have to-do list. I make, the things I need to get done in a particular day or a particular month. And I always ask them, I said, well, how many of you have a to-be list? And usually I was actually doing a seminar for a bunch of real estate agents, and I talked about to-do lists. They were all, you know, engaged and talking about the things on their to-do list. And then I asked them, you know, how many of you have a to-be list? And out of the corner of my eye, I saw one of the ladies, just tears welled up. And you could tell that she had never really considered the kind of person that she wanted to be. And what was really, I think, is the story, and she shared her story, that what she was actually doing was eroding the kind of person that she wanted to be. And so I think a lot of us live like this because the pressure to do things is just so great. It's how we define success by the accomplishments we have. And what I think we all know is that who we become is far more important than what we do, because that's what affects all the relationships around us. And ultimately, it actually affects what we do and, more importantly, why we do the things that we do. So it's really important to sort of stop all the pressure, you know, and that's why it's a process to pick a word. It's not just a gut, you know, reaction like, oh, I'll pick the word patience, or I'll pick the word, you know, a tender, or whatever it might be. It's a process by which you have to stop long enough and say, you know, who do I really want to become? And I think that the important part of that is a lot of folks say, you know, if I yell at my kids and my New Year's resolutions or my word is going to have something to do with not yelling. And what you want to do is to try and determine what kind of person would you have to become for that behavior to be unthinkable to you. And that's what makes the My One Word process so rich, is you begin to focus on the kind of person that you long to become, and then, you know, ultimately that God wants us to become, has created us to become.
That is beautiful, Mike. I just wrote down not yelling, but I'm going to make sure I'm off.
Can we all use that?
Exactly. Mike Ashcraft is our guest. Mike is the co-author of the book My One Word and a pastor in Wilmington, North Carolina. We'll take a quick break and guide you through the one word process when we continue here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. 47 past the hour here at Faith Radio. Instead of making New Year's resolutions in the coming year, what about focusing on one word that illustrates the kind of person that you'd like to become in 2017? We're talking to Pastor Mike Ashcraft. He's the co-author of the book, My One Word. And Mike, let's continue through the process here. You suggest that we get a picture of the person we want to become in our mind and then identify their major characteristics. Can you give us maybe a few examples of that?
Sure. You know, just like I mentioned, if you struggle, you know, for me, I was a hothead. So, or if you struggle with, you know, those kind of interactions, yelling at your kids, and you decide that, you know, what kind of person would you want to become? What a characteristic would be is maybe it's tender. And what would it be like to be a more tender father? Or if you're someone who always struggles with being the center and kind of forcing your way, what if you decided, you know, that person is gracious? They're always giving of themselves to other people. And so you begin to make a list of characteristics. Some, you know, leaders that I've admired were bold, or they were, you know, tenacious or disciplined, things that I would look at and define the characteristics and just make a giant list, you know, 10 to 12 things about that kind of person and write them down in a journal.
After you've narrowed down those characteristics of that type of person you want to become, how do you then pick just one word to focus on for the year?
Well, this is usually the trick. This is where most people struggle, because they get down and they say, well, I like two words, or I like three words. I had one guy, and he was trying to pick between the word, I think it was like patience and decisive, and he just couldn't pick. And I said, well, maybe your word should be decisive, and your first decision should be just to pick that word, right? You know, just at some point you have to just pick one. And the whole premise is, the premise of the book, the premise of the concept is, it's better to do something about one thing than nothing about everything. And our tendency is not to want to let go of some of the things that we really like. And the beauty of one word is it becomes a lens through which you see your life through. And the odds are it's going to encompass the things that you really want to see happen. And the reason is not because it's a magic word, but because it's God's work, and He wants to do that in you more than, you know, than we want it ourselves. And so it's really just a matter of getting the list down and then, you know, picking a deadline. I do mine on January 31st, and I pick my word on that day, and that's the end of it. And I stick with it the whole year.
Now, when it comes to picking your word, how do we determine whether or not our word is really God's will for us, or maybe based more on kind of our selfish desires? Because, you know, Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
So. Yeah, I use, you know, I think about Philippians 1:6, where Paul says that I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And it really is, you know, again, it's back to the process. It's that submissiveness. It's that willingness to say, God, I want to be the person you've created me to be. And just doing all the gut checks in it. I mean, obviously, if you're trying to use it to, you know, say, well, my word is surf, and I'm going to use this to surf more, to use it to get my way, then that's a motive problem. But I think when we're trying to really embrace the process, you know, for me, God has been so amazingly faithful at the words that I've picked, and not only what I thought they were going to be. I think the most beautiful thing about this is they turned out to be something so much more than what I ever imagined in you know, January, February, when I was picking the word. By the end of the year, and I think that's the beauty of staying with something for a, you know, for a year, because you just get to see it kind of morph and become over the course of time.
After we've picked our word, Mike, is it important to share it with other people in our life?
Yes, it is. You know, anytime you do that, what it does, I think the beautiful thing about that is when we think about sharing our words, it provides both encouragement and accountability. I think we always think of these ideas of, you know, resolutions or commitments as being accountability issues, but I think what we really need is to embrace a way to have encouragement as well. And so when I tell people my word, a lot of times they can affirm that in me. It's a chance for us to have conversations that matter about the things that matter. You know, when you're telling someone the kind of person you want to be, you're immediately having a pretty intimate a conversation. You know, I've used this in business settings, especially with Christian employers who are wanting to know how can we have more conversations or open up conversations about spiritual matters in the workplace where it doesn't sound like I'm preaching. And, you know, we've had a lot of companies that use my one word as a part of their employment development process, because it really is about, I mean, as an employer, if you have employees and you know what kind of people they want to be, that's a really powerful tool in terms of their own personal development and your ability to coach them towards that. So it's a great tool to share and be accountable and encourage and really help set direction for people. One of my coworkers, his word one year was steady, and he was using this idea to really kind of steady some of the emotional issues that he was dealing with, and also some of the fear issues he was struggling with. And I asked him, you know, how do you steady a bike? And he was talking about, well, you steady a bike by moving. And we talked about this idea and how that picture, you know, where he thought it was going to be this sort of put both feet on the ground and steady himself, became about movement and really has changed the trajectory of his input and value in our organization.
Wow, that is beautiful. Can you share any other stories about people you know who've taken that one-word challenge, what their word was, and maybe the story behind the word they chose?
Yeah, there's a lot mentioned in the book and a lot on the website too, and people can share their words on there. But one particular one that I was thinking about is there was a couple that came into our church and to my office for counseling. They were having some trouble in their marriage. She wanted to move away and move back to her childhood home to be with her mom and some other things that were just plaguing her from her past. And he was like, you know, honey, I don't think that's a good idea because it just brings up all the stuff we've dealt with. And, you know, they're going back and forth, you know, about this decision they're trying to make to either move back or stay put. And so as, you know, I listened for a little while and I asked her, I said, what is your one word? And she said, my word is forward. And I said, can you tell me why? And she said, because I don't want to be trapped by my past any longer. And, you know, so all of a sudden I'm irrelevant in that meeting. All I did is hold up a mirror. And she was able to see exactly the decision that they needed to make based on something she had already, you know, asked and believed that God was doing in her life. And so that's one of the great powerful things about this is when people really go through the process and try to understand why they're picking a word and look through that lens, and then other people are able to hold that up to them, it really does have a profound impact on the way people process both the great events of their lives and certainly, unfortunately, the most devastating. You know, I hear it all the time. You know, we have a pretty large church, and we have a lot of folks who struggle with cancer. And, you know, I went to a banquet, and one of the ladies, she started an organization. She's been fighting cancer about 4 years, and her whole talk is about her word this year and the impact that it makes on continuing to allow her to fight and to encourage other people in the process. And it's an amazing view that people get through that. And I just feel, you know, it always just gives me chills and such deep joy to realize what a powerful tool that it really has become.
Mm. I know every January you have a sermon series on spiritual formation at your church, and your congregation takes the One Word Challenge. We've just got about 2 minutes left.
Sure.
You have a lot of support available through the My One Word website. What will folks find there, Mike?
We do, and we're working to keep the blog. The process is there. A place for you to share your word is there. You know, I'm going to be working on the blog this year, putting videos out and stuff. We also have on the blog post that's up now, the current blog post, is an exercise to finish well, which helps you bring last year's stuff to a close, and then it walks you through the process of picking your word as well. That's on a link called the Personal Retreat that we did at our church, where we took people over the last 4 weeks to help them finish the year well in order to start the next year strong, so they don't bring all the stuff of their past into their future. And that's how we have been using that the last couple of years. It's been very effective.
And you've got a small group Bible study available on DVD using the One Word concept as well, correct?
That is correct. There's a DVD, and the questions are in the back of the book, and they both complement each other, and it walks you through. It's additional information that's not in the book, but it uses the book as a complementary resource for the small group study guide. We've done it. It works really well. It walks people through picking their word and through helping them stay with it over the course of the year.
Mm. Mike, we appreciate you. Once again, the book is called My One Word, Mike Ashcraft, the co-author of that particular book, and it's myoneword.org, correct, is the website?
That is correct. And Bill, I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be on your show. I appreciate everything that you do.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much, and I pray for your entire church as they go through the One Word process here in the next couple of weeks. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good day. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you.